Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game. An XSplit broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Hello and happy Halloween to all you gamers out there. My name is Leah. This is the GOG Cast. This is episode number 86, and we got an extra spooky version for you today, but not that kind of spooky, not super scary, more like Halloween themed, you know, that kind of jazz. We don't want to do super scary because that's what everybody else is doing. And, you know, there's other ways to enjoy Halloween without, you know, being scared stupid, right? Exactly. All right. I got on the cast with me today, Miss Catherine Smith Davier in her wonderful cat costume.
Hello. Ironically enough, even though it's my namesake, this is the second time I dress as a cat in my whole life.
Why only the second time?
No, first time I was really young. I kind of barely remember it. But then, I don't know, I thought it would be too cliche, I guess. How hipster of me.
How hipster of you indeed. We've got Miss Bianca with us as well. Hi, girl. I love your costume. Little Stitch.
It's my onesie.
I love it. It's awesome.
It's not a costume, it's pajamas.
Even better. You can cosplay any time of the year. And I believe our wonderful truck driver's Miss Kelsey. How you doing?
Good, you?
I didn't know if I wanted to call you a truck driver or an operator from Rainbow Six Siege. It all works. Hey, Ash. I'll call you Ash. So for the folks who are listening to this, we decided to dress up today because it is October 31st, Halloween, which means the eve before all the Christmas music starts, right?
And that's why I already have my Christmas lights in the background to get mentally ready.
Exactly. We're all prepared for the impending doom that is all of the Christmas music. But hey, it's okay. You know, Christmas means time off, means more times to play games, means rounds up of game of the year and all that stuff, which is kind of daunting right now, just thinking about game of the year already. You ladies know your picks already? Don't let them out now. It's not time. It's not time yet. Okay. All right. But I know you're all playing games right now. Catherine, what have you been gaming?
Oh, Skyrim. Skyrim. Hi.
That's all you've been doing. Just Skyrim.
Just Skyrim. I mean, I haven't talked to Geralt in a week. I haven't driven my Forza Horizon 3 cars. It's just me.
Oh, what a shame.
I know. It's just, I was afraid. I was afraid that I would pick up that game, and I was afraid it would do what it did for me the first time, and it is doing it. And I can, I've got like, 100 hours on it since this, no, not 100 hours. I don't know how many hours I'm on it, but my original game had 186 hours. So
that's impressive.
Oh my goodness.
It was nice knowing all of you. See you after Christmas.
There you go. That's where Catherine's going to be hibernating, playing Skyrim. Bianca, what have you been up to?
I've been stuck between two games. I don't have my setup yet here because I've been moving. So I've been pretty much playing Hearthstone because it's easy. I can do it on my laptop, my phone, whatever. And because of work, I've been playing a lot of Rainbow Six Siege, like a lot of it. You have no idea how many hours I've banked in this game now. I've been playing it over and over and over again because I suck at it. So I die like every 30 seconds. So you just got to keep doing the level until you beat it. But yeah, those two.
So are you playing the team modes or are you trying to get through all the missions?
I'm trying to master all the situations, and I only do terrorist hunt because I cannot play against other people to save my life. So it's pretty much just terrorist hunt or situations.
Yeah, playing against other people is rough. When we were in our full-on siege mode back this time last year, holy cow, it was this time last year. Maybe even a little later than that, because I think it came out December 1st or December 4th. Yeah, so it was me and Mike and Craig and Voice, and we were just going after Terra Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's fantastic. But yeah, sometimes you're just like, no.
Kelsey, what have you been playing?
Sort of embarrassing, but I was like addicted to, I don't know if you guys know what this is, Mystic Messenger.
What is it?
Oh gosh.
It's an app. It's a game on mobile game. And basically...
Why are y'all giggling? What's wrong with the mobile game?
Just let her continue.
Bianca, have you tried this before too? They can't even get it out, folks. They can't. They can't even right now.
That's why I said it's embarrassing. It's a game where it's like you find this phone, and then you're thrown into a conversation with like four anime boys, and you have to like flirt with them. And end game is to end up with one of them.
Ooh,
you can't see me wink.
Romance game. What's it called again?
Mystic Messenger.
Okay, now I'm intrigued. I'm gonna have to. Yeah.
Is it a notice me senpai type of situation?
I'm intrigued. Let me know who you guys end up with. I'm really curious.
All right. Yeah, that might be like our video game book club for next week. We all go and figure out who we end up dating in this game. It'd be funny. It'd be really funny. I've been playing more Diablo. I ended up streaming there on Friday night, which was a lot of fun. Thanks, Bianca, for coming to hang out with me.
Yeah.
And Sarah was playing with me for a bit, trying to power level me through my season character. Though after not playing for like a month, I was all thumbs again. I was like, what the hell am I doing in this game? And I'm now officially 22 hours into Yo-Kai Watch. So I've been sick.
Oh, how is it?
It's so good. As you can probably hear, I've got like the sex phone operator voice on the go here today because I'm seriously sick. So I stayed home from work. I'm doing this. I didn't go to work because I didn't want to infect people. Managed to do this. But yeah, when I was working from home and today and then yesterday, I played a lot of Yo-Kai Watch. So much fun. I love it. It's a great game. All right, let's get into the news. I believe we have some Nintendo Switch news. Yeah, Miss Bianca, do you want to fill us in on all the news of Nintendo Switch?
Yes, as much as I can. So as it has been announced, we have the official Nintendo NX. It is called the Switch, which it seems to be a home console / portable type of console, which I'll say my opinions after all this.
That's fine, go ahead.
Yeah, all the opinions will be after. So what we know about it is that it's a portable console, as well as it can be stationed in your living room or wherever your TV is. It can be hooked up with your TV, obviously. And news that I found out today when I was doing a little bit more research, that the screen will be fully multi-touch, which is great because it's not obvious in the actual commercial. It'll be 1080p, so no 4K for Nintendo, unfortunately. And no backwards compatibility as of yet with discs or 3DS games, but we don't know if the virtual shop will be available or not. They haven't denied it, so hopefully that'd be awesome, because everyone who's purchased like all their Nintendo games, Super Nintendo games, like whatever, will like, they'll be lost. So I don't see why they wouldn't, because that would be, well, you know, it could be a major loss, it could be not, because then people will definitely repurchase all of it for sure. Like, people would be repurchasing. As per my opinion of it, I think it's great. I want it to be so successful just because I want a Nintendo in the house again. Like, the only Nintendo I have is my Super Nintendo. I did not go for the Wii or the Wii U, and I haven't had a GameCube in forever. So it's like, I want an actual Nintendo in the house that could be just as competitive as like my Xbox and my PS4. So I think this is a step in an excellent direction for Nintendo. They are fantastic with their mobile community, and this is like a hybrid of both that could get the console players like me, as well as like me getting into more mobile, because I really don't play my 3DS. But if I could continue playing Zelda on my way to work, I'm totally down for that. Totally down for that.
I think this is definitely this that hook of being able to take Zelda on the go, where it's the normal experience at your TV, and then walking out the door with that, it's really going to sell this console if they can hold up to that promise.
Yeah. Yeah, because then it's the concern of battery life, obviously. How good is it going to be? Am I just going to walk out the door and it's going to die after an hour? I would not be impressed with that. But, you know, the 3DS does last a while. When I at least play mine, I don't play mine that often, but it lasts quite a bit. So if it could maybe be, like, I don't know, like 3 to 4 hours is pretty good, because I'm not going to be playing it all day. Like, I'm just going to leave the house, head to work, play it a little bit there. I'm not going to be playing it for 8 hours. Like, I'd come home and do that.
Yeah.
I think it's those cases if you go traveling, like you're on an airplane or something like that, that's when you need the long time.
The long
You'll need battery life. Adapter. But it's like, it's weird because the 3DS has a 6 to 8 hour runtime battery life if it's new enough. And then you have the gamepad, which straight out of the box when I got it new had about an hour long of battery life. So I mean,
that thing's the worst. The gamepad battery life.
The Wii U?
For the Wii U, yeah.
It was horrible.
It has horrible battery life.
Oh my God.
Like, it's terrible.
My Wii U's at work right now, and if somebody doesn't put it back in the socket on the dock after our lunch gaming session, it's dead. The battery's dead.
I know if someone uses my Wii U, if it's dead, I'm like, who didn't fucking charge it?
I know. And it's not like the 3DS where it's like, I'll just plug it in, I'll wait, and then I'll get 6 hours. It's like, we have to wait so that we can play for like half an hour, and then we have to wait again.
Yeah, I have my Wii U here, and the gamepad is constantly plugged in. Constantly. Because I've had it happen where I'm streaming, and then all of a sudden, kaput.
Yeah.
So that's why for the Switch, I'm like, you gotta please learn from the 3DS. Please, 3DS battery life.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Sure they will, because at this point, they know that if they don't have a good battery life, that it could kind of ruin it. It could make or break it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hopefully advancements have been made in lithium ion batteries to make them last longer.
Or maybe a different type of battery.
Maybe a different type. The other thing that I heard, and well, it was on Twitter and all that kind of stuff, was that Nintendo has going to refrain from saying anything else until January 12th.
Oh, my birthday.
Mm, happy birthday, Kelsey.
Well, it's the 13th. It's the 13th. But
close enough. We'll be celebrating. Yeah, we'll be celebrating Kelsey and whatever news we have on the Switch. It's going
to
be dope.
Yeah, I'll have everything. All the information you need to know about the Switch will be that. They have like a whole presentation, as they would say.
And January is pretty quiet. Like the first few weeks of January, it's kind of nice to have something to look forward to when you're coming back to work, come back after holidays, hungover from, you know, the New Year's festivals, parties, all that jazz. Have something to look forward to.
Well, hopefully it'd be sooner, considering it's supposed to be out in March, like 3 months before launch. I don't know. It's
I'm surprised.
What do they need to tell us? They need to tell us a price point, what's in it, what's coming with it, when you can buy it, and that's it. Everybody, the games that are at launch, that's it.
Yeah, I guess.
They could do that in an hour, and then you have like, we've talked about hype before, and then you've got a controlled 2.5 to 3 months of hype. Or even 2 months, right? Because obviously Nintendo, the way they are, they already have got them all. They're being built now, right? They're being fabricated now.
Well, they've already been built because dev kits have already been released.
Exactly. Well, they're in the process of like mass producing them now, right? Just for, I guess, their estimated demand. So it's only 2 months, 2.5 months of hype then. So they can build it accordingly and do a really, really strategic plan. Kind of like they did for Fallout. Now, did they have that long? They have 4 months, 5 months.
I feel like Fallout was announced and then we were playing it.
Yeah, so like I kind of like that idea because it gives us just enough time to get like hyped and save away whatever pennies we need for this console and then get into it. We're not like hanging on forever waiting. Like,
but also Nintendo is a very airtight publisher. Like, their leaks are very, very small or none, so they can be like, here's everything, order it if you want, and then they won't suffer from it.
That's the truth.
Nobody's expecting anything from them. Because we don't know.
All right,
the NX was a huge surprise.
Pardon?
I said the NX was a huge surprise, so that was like actually really nice. It was a nice surprise to see it and be like, oh my gosh.
Well, they had to have some kind of hype going because we're obviously not really feeling the Wii U.
Yeah.
Indeed. All right, the next little bit of news is actually very festive. Kat, do you want to roll into that?
Is it the doodle?
Yes.
Oh my God. So for all the weekend, they had the Google Doodle was a playable game where you played a little black cat that was a sorcerer and a ghost stole your spell book, and then you had to get it back by fighting off ghosts, and you had 5 bosses, I think, and you would cast spells by drawing like either a line straight up or a line that way. When you did like this, your cat would go like boop, And then there was combinations, and it got, like, at one point there was a lot of ghosts. Some ghosts had combination of, like, 6 to 7 or 8 symbols to fight them. It was very hard. It was very challenging. I got, like, over 100,000 for my first score. And I had, like, 3 lives left. And I almost lost all 3. Like, I finished by the skin of my teeth, I think. It was a very good game. Really good. Great. Man, Google, what are you doing making great games like this out of the blue?
But the thing is, it was a simple mechanic, well executed. You could play it with your mouse. You could play it on a phone. And it was short and sweet, but it was addictive as hell.
I loved it. As soon as you told us about it, I went on and I played for like an hour. I was just like doing the triangles, lightning bolt.
And it's so smart because most people Google from their phone now. And it's just like, can you imagine trying to like, yeah, I'm going to look up that recipe on. And then an hour later, what are you doing? I'm like, ghost still has my spellbook.
Google could turn that into a mobile game and make all of us very happy. I wonder what will happen to it. Is it going to disappear?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Usually doodles just kind of like go away.
That's sad. So, go play now while you still can.
Yeah, you have until, I don't know, midnight, I guess.
Yeah,
it's probably. On google.ca. Probably like midnight for Pacific Coast, whenever that is.
Probably. I imagine they might keep it up for tomorrow because it's called Halloween because it's All Hallows Eve. Maybe they'll keep it up for a little extra time.
Maybe. I mean, if they had other characters in there that, you know, were studying magic with the cat, there was a frog and a dog and everything. So maybe they can make mobile games and we can unlock all the characters. Come on, do it like Candy Crush. Wrap us in.
That gets us all hooked in, all hooked in. Bianca, did you get to play?
Yeah, I played it just before. And I had like the trackpad on my laptop. So it was a little bit hard. I didn't have a mouse. But yeah, I beat it. I'm happy.
I was real nervous at one point. I thought I wasn't going to beat it.
That last boss is pretty hard.
Yeah, that comes fury and fast. All of a sudden, you're like scrambling to do
it.
Oh, that last combo, he was up my nose. He went like, boop, and he died. And I was like, man, that was exhilarating. And I was supposed to Google for a recipe. Like, what the hell?
Other news, though, Kat kind of already covered it. Everybody and their cat is playing Skyrim. Like, seriously. Like, that's all everybody is doing right now. I can't get over how big this game is. And it's old. Like, old.
Yeah, it was, like, Fallout 4 is pretty much based on the same, like, kind of width, like, size of the map and amount of content that Skyrim had. Because Oblivion was a bit too stretched out. I didn't play Oblivion, but everybody told me, like, Oblivion was, like, you could walk forever and not see anything. As in, for Skyrim, it was, like, all very dense, but it made for a more dynamic gameplay. I love that game. I only finished the last quest once I had cleared everything on the map. That's why it took 186 hours. I played a bit of Fallout 4. I was in the same boat. It's just like one of the first good open world games where they had the good balance of the world's not too big, but it's not too empty, but it's not too full. And you feel like you can explore. It's a lot of content. And now there's DLCs. Like, I didn't play the DLCs. I got the special edition so I could play that extra content. Because when the DLCs came out, I stopped myself. I was like, no, you've played this game enough. And it's just, it's a strong game. If you like RPG and if you like the fantasy setting, it's a very good game and it's got a good challenge. And the fact that it's moddable, it's extremely moddable. A lot of mods were created by the community. If you don't like something in the game, you can mod it and fix it. So if you think it's stupid that you're in the mountain and there's a blizzard and your character's not cold and it's half naked, you can activate a mod that you have to dress up for cold weather. You can activate a mod that, you know, at night you don't see shit. You need lights. Like, you can actually mold the game to the experience you want. And that's a big strength for Skyrim, especially on PC. Hence why they had to add it to the console, because people were like, then what's the point of playing Skyrim? The basic game. We don't need it anymore.
Obviously, it has, it's a game that's really sits well with a lot of gamers. I myself, I have never played it, but it intrigues me that so many people are willing to go back after all this time and all the new games that have coming out. Like, I'm this close to jumping in. It's just the fact that, you know, I'm trying to get through Yo-Kai Watch first, and I know that'll suck the life out of me if I do start Skyrim. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Kelsey, Bianca, are you guys playing Skyrim? Have you played it before?
I've never played it.
Me neither.
Has it tickled your fancy enough to maybe want to jump in?
You'll never see me again.
Oh, dear.
I'm one of those gamers that, like, if a game can be, like, 100 plus hours, I'll just, like, go into that cave and never return.
I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah?
Yeah, the more time it takes, the less... Because I'm not committed. And even Fallout 4, like, as soon as I got out of the bunker, I'm like, all right, I got my dog. I'm ready to go. The mole things attack me. I'm like, nope. Closed it. Went back a couple months later, but I was like, if it takes too much time, I can't devote. I want to do like a million things at once, not like not one thing. That's
It's just not your type of game.
Yeah,
it's all good.
It does require a lot of planning and
yeah, that's
traveling around. I tend to go like, you know, you start the game. You're in Helgen, you go to River, I think it's Riverwood, and then you go to Whiterun, and then you start the story, and then I just accumulate a bunch of all the quests. I just talk to everybody, just like, give me your quests, give me your shit. Yeah, I'll go get your family sword. What's your problem? What you want a mammoth tusk? All right, add it to the list, whatever. And then I go out and I quest for an hour or two, and then I come back and I'm just like, here's your sword, here's your tusk, give me your gold. And then I spend a good 20 minutes like crafting and doing my skills and, you know, just management, character management, crafting. And then it's like, okay, log out. And that's like a 3-hour session every time. It's, yeah, I know. A lot of people are like, no. No, that's so much like, and you know, when I started playing Fallout 4, I'm like, this is Skyrim all over again. And I didn't buy Fallout 4. I was playing it on my boyfriend's Steam library so that media would cut me off when he starts playing so I wouldn't get sucked in. But Skyrim I just bought on my own account. That was wrong. That was... but yeah, I can understand Bianca not wanting to start and you just seeing this and being like, it's way too big. It's way too big.
But yeah.
We've been talking about it a lot in our Discord community, especially because 8-Bit Blonde was very excited to play it again. And there were two types of people. Or like people that were like, I played this game too much. I don't want to ever see it again. And people are like, I want to play it again because I played almost 200. I poured 200 hours in it and I want to have that experience again. So it's just one of, I think it's going to be one of those cult classic, like Oblivion yeah. was a very good cult classic because it was a very beautiful open world game. But I think when it comes to like fan loyalty, Skyrim really sucked the last of us in. Like, Bethesda just went like, all of you, come on in.
See, my problem is I had such a bad taste in my mouth because I did get a loan of the PS3 version and I did run into one of those glitches and it took forever to load and all this stuff. And I'm like, really? Really? Like, I have very little patience. I'm not very good at waiting. So, you know, sitting through that and then the glitches and stuff that I was running into and then just knowing that my save might be corrupted and might lose it all, I was like, here you go, Ian, you can have this back. So, yeah, I mean, if I got it now, I'd probably buy it on PC, just because I think that would be easier to mod, more stable. I can get a better experience out of it because I imagine I can turn up the graphics pretty high. So.
Yeah, and it's honestly, like, even when it came out, my friend Guillaume had it on PS3, and as he got farther in the game and his save got bigger, the loading, he would, like, it would take 2 to 3 minutes to load. I got it on PC as a Christmas gift, and I got it through Steam. So every time I've had a glitch, I could go on a forum, find a solution, and you just pasted a command in the command prompt. Or, you know, you can find a mod to fix. I did it mod free. I just did the command prompts and managed to avoid a lot of bugs that way. It was easy for me to duplicate saves, quick saves, auto saves, you know, when you play on PC, or I would keep a backup of my save file. Now it's a cloud sync, So it can't, it doesn't really corrupt because it just syncs with Steam. So now I don't have to do all my quadruple backups. But yeah, when it first came out, it was a very buggy game and we kind of powered through it because the content was so good. And today I would say the experience is much more different. One, because of the mods, but two, also because of the extra stuff that Bethesda poured into it. They did kind of like fix a few things. I had a few crashes, but I fixed it.
So it's almost better for me to jump in now. It's like all those folks that were having issues with Unity in the beginning, and then the folks that jumped in later for Assassin's Creed Unity, and then jumped in afterwards, and they're like, what was everybody complaining about? And we're like, in the beginning. Yeah. But once they got, you know.
You want to play post-patch. Yeah. If you want to play, especially if you want to play on console, I would grab the special edition, like this edition. If you want to play on PC, you could play either or, but what's the point of playing of the old one if you don't have the old one? Yeah,
no point. No, I'll jump on the new one if it happens. Speaking about more PC gaming, maybe a little bit of console wrapped into that, BlizzCon is coming up, and there's a little bit of speculation going around the internet to see what they might do. It's also lots of Overwatch, I imagine. I believe there's tournaments happening, all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be quite entertaining to watch. Ladies, do you have any speculation as to what Blizzard might announce? Because, I mean, that's the time that they drop the news.
I'm hoping for a new Overwatch character that hasn't been leaked yet.
Yeah.
I think we have two more characters that are expected to be out, but I want a new one that's not leaked.
What type of character do you think they would announce if they were to announce one?
I guess we haven't seen a new attack, have we? I think it's only been the healer, of course, Ana.
Yeah.
And then Sombra, is what, a support or tank?
I think she's tank.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure.
I know. I don't like looking at leaks. So I have no information. Yeah, about them.
We don't have much longer to wait. It's coming really, really soon. And the big rumor that I'm reading around the net, of course, Diablo 4. And that's, you know, piqued my interest. Just playing Diablo the weekend. So it'd be really, really cool to have Diablo 4 jump out. I know there was one gentleman on Twitter, I believe he's one of the main game developers, I'm going to open it up here right now, saying that there was no talk of that. But that might be all like pulling wool over our eyes, that kind of jazz. Yeah, David Bervik said there's been a lot of speculation, brackets and hope, but I'm not working on a Diablo franchise currently or in the near future. So hashtag sorry, hashtag much love. So yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it'd be kind of cool if they did announce something, because it's also the 20th anniversary of Diablo. So, you know, kind of put two and two together, you know, it'd be kind of nice. That makes me feel really old though, when we keep getting these like 20th anniversary of Diablo, 20th anniversary of Pokemon, like, oh damn. Time flies, right? Time flies. All right, ladies, let's move into the main topic of the show, which is how to get into the spirit of Halloween video game style without being scared stupid. So when I was pondering, you know, what the heck are we going to do on October 31st, I put it out to our crew in GOG and was like, all right, horror fans, who are you and what games do you play? And everybody was like, I don't like horror games. They're too scary. They give me nightmares. So I was like, well then, if nobody's into playing video games that are horror related, there's got to be other stuff that we do that's Halloween related. And I started looking through all the video games that I had, and I was playing Rezogun the weekend too a little bit, because my friend was like, hey, I want to try a video game. And I was like, okay, here's a good one for you to start with. And I noticed that they had put pumpkin heads in the little humans. I was like, that's kind of a nice nod. So I was like, okay, let's see if we can wrap up video games that we could play that are not scary, but still have the Halloween spirit. So I'm going to start first and jump into some non-scary Halloween games. I'm going to poke Kat first and see if she has some games that, you know, might fall under that category. Go ahead, girl.
Oh, I mean, I guess Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Because it does have the Nightmare Before Christmas. And Nightmare Before Christmas is one of my Halloween favorite movies. I'm not a big Halloween person, to be honest, says the girl who has a full make cat makeup face. It's probably why I'm not big into horror games. But when I played WoW, I really did enjoy the Halloween Holiday Fest. I remember that you could go trick-or-treating from the innkeepers. So we would take, what are they called? The birds that you would take, that it would fly you from one major city to another.
The griffins?
Yes. And we would go trick-or-treating that way. You would put a mask on your character and you get candy, and then the candy you'd exchange for stuff. And I think at one point I got a pet out of that, like just a aesthetic pet or whatever. But I remember playing WoW. If it was Halloween, I was just like, what's the event? But then any holiday, I was like, what's the event? And what can I get for free?
It's cool. Events and games are definitely smart. Bianca, do you have any non-scary Halloween games that you like to play?
Currently, Overwatch with the Jugginstein Revenge, which I think is the freaking best thing they could have done. Well, I'm sure they could have done amazing things, but this was having the whole Halloween event for them has like sucked me back in. And I just go and I play the Brawl, because who doesn't love the Brawl? Oh my gosh, it's so much fun.
Sweet. Kelsey, how about you? Any non-scary Halloween games?
Every game I play is non-scary because I'm the biggest scaredy cat in the whole universe. I can't even watch War of the Worlds without crying. But my favorite game, like when you brought it up, it was definitely Luigi's Mansion. I didn't think about it, but that game, I was obsessed with it. It reminded me so much of Scooby-Doo, and that's probably the scariest thing I'll watch at Halloween. And I even when games add like a little Halloween twist, like Animal Crossing, when the town has the leaves falling and then your little villager comes up and she's like, boo, like, oh, shit, you. But they're like dressed up and they have the pumpkins and everything. It's really cute. I find anything that has like a little pumpkin theme, I find adorable. But ask me to play, what was the movie that came out last year? Oh my God. That game with the zombies.
So many.
No, do you have which game with which zombies?
There's so many zombies.
It was really the Dawn. Until Dawn.
Until Dawn? Oh, yeah, that game's good.
Not for me.
Oh, I like that game a lot. Well, I did a quick wrap up of some games. Luigi's Mansion was one of them that I thought of. Crypt of the NecroDancer, which I love playing. It's a beat game, a dungeon brawler beat game, but it has that, you know, well, it's called Crypt of the NecroDancer. It has that cool, amazing soundtrack, but a little bit of a spooky theme to it. And then all the bad guys are like zombies and evil wizards and like evil demons and things. So like, you know, it's not scary. Like, you're not gonna jump, but it has, you know, that Halloween flavor. Don't Starve is another good one to pick up. That has some real scary moments when the nighttime comes around. So yeah, play that with a friend, which you can do.
I have another one.
Go for it.
Castlevania.
Yes.
Oh yeah, good one.
I love that game.
What is it about vampires?
I don't even find vampires that scary, and I think Twilight like made me immune to vampires. Like, I don't even find them scary anymore. I can't take them seriously. No. So it helps.
I love monsters.
Yeah.
For me, the vampires, it was Anne Rice and like Interview with a Vampire and all that jazz. So by the time Twilight came around, I'm like, oh, I've done the pretty boy vampires enough. Thank you. I've had Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt.
Twilight was my life. I had a Team Jacob shirt. I was ready. No one could mess with me. I'm like, she wouldn't pick Edward. But then he fell in love with her daughter. So really.
Spoilers.
Spoilers for those who didn't read Twilight or watch the movies.
I watched all the movies that made millions of dollars.
Another good one is Costume Quest, which, you know, that has some like spooky flavor to it. You know, get to cosplay, that kind of thing. In-game, love that. There's always, pardon? Go ahead.
Undertale.
Yes. Yes.
I haven't played that one. That one's on my
you
list.
You need to.
But I can't. There's a new Skyrim.
No. Undertale.
Once you come back from Skyrim. come back
in 186 hours.
Yeah, all right, we'll see there.
Next one. Next one, I next time I pick up a.
It's really good.
It has to be Undertale.
We mentioned the Kingdom Hearts has the Nightmare Before Christmas Halloween themed level. Can you think of any other games that have levels that are more on the spooky side rather than the whole thing have like a ghost and goblins or vampire thing to it?
I mean, Mario always has a level with the booze.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
The booze as in boo plural, not booze as in quack quack.
I know folks are writing stuff in chat. Yes, Grim Fandango. Yeah, that's a good one too. That has a Halloween feel without actually being scary.
It's based on the Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm. That's it, with the sugar skulls.
Yes.
Now, we can jump down into Halloween add-ons and games. Now, this seems to be a big thing. We talked about Overwatch and having the nice Halloween skins. Rezogun, like I said before, had a really cute little nod adding little pumpkin heads onto the humans that were already green and weird looking. I was like, what's going on with my game? Why are they orange? But I heard that Destiny had a Halloween event. And that sounds pretty awesome to be able to do that kind of stuff now, since every game is connected all the time. So you can download new events, new gear, new whatever. They can patch stuff like we were talking earlier. So you guys got any other add-ons and events and things that happened in video games the past few weeks that Halloween?
Yes. I unfortunately am still playing Pokemon Go. I don't hunt. I just kind of like open it up and put it in my pocket because I'm like just hatching eggs. But they did have a Halloween event where all like the Haunters and the Gengars and the Ghastlies were more frequent. Cubone was more frequent. Meowth was more frequent. And candies from transfers were doubled. And distance walked with buddies were reduced to like under a kilometer. Even if it was like 3 kilometers before, it was all reduced to 0.75 kilometers. I don't know if that's all of it, but that's the stuff that I noticed.
That's pretty awesome. I kind of wish the Pokemon Go had jumped on with some of these events sooner than now.
Yeah, like it took them 3 months to get an event. It's a mobile game. They should be doing an event a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
engagement, it has to be more than just like Warcraft that did it every holiday. There should be something new every month.
Yeah, because they lose people. Like, now that you're talking about the Halloween, it makes me like, oh man, I shouldn't have deleted Pokemon Go off my phone, but they should have kept me like until October if they were planning a big event. Like, there should have been something.
Why only started doing it because the having your buddy, they reduced it. So for the Pokemon that I need to evolve to the next level, I've just been buddying up with them and just like walking around the block, because it's, first of all, less time. So I don't have to walk 3 kilometers for one Bulbasaur freaking candy. It's like amazing. So that's the only reason why I'm playing it this weekend, because I want to get those stupid evolutions.
What I'm disappointed about, and it's kind of disappointed, kind of not, and it just has to do with the area that I live in, is I actually don't have a hard time finding Ghastlies and Haunters around here. I don't know if it's Montreal, I don't know if it's the area that I'm in Homa, but they're not a Pokemon that I find rare. So it's, I'm like, yeah, that's awesome, but I don't, you know, I have all of them, so.
Yeah, I remember walking between my house and the metro station I take every day. It was like, drowsy Ghastly, drowsy Ghastly, drowsy Ghastly. Then I got at the metro station, and it's a Jinx. Okay. And get back in. So, yeah, when they were like, you should play, there's going to be Ghastlies and Haunters, and I'm like, no. No, I'm good. Call me when there's new Pokemons.
Yeah. Someone mentioned when we were doing our group chat that Street Fighter V had DLC. Was that you, Bianca, that mentioned it?
Well, I think they did, but I don't play Street Fighter V, so I couldn't confirm that.
All right, let me see. I did find some information on it.
I know the backgrounds did have a Halloween feel. I'm not sure.
Exactly, they have a Halloween feel to it. They also had a new Russian stage and some costumes for the characters that were kind of spooky-esque. You heard Thriller earlier on the podcast, and there's one costume that actually looks a lot like something out of Thriller, which is kind of
really?
Yeah, it looks like a weird bride zombie-esque ghost thing. I can't even tell the picture. So the picture's so tiny, I can't even tell. So I can't tell which character it is. It's not very big. But that's kind of cool. So did you guys think of anything else that was Halloween related video game wise that would not scare the pants off you if you wanted to play? Anybody in chat there?
I watched Alice and Simon play some Destiny while she was streaming last week, and they did the Halloween event. I didn't catch anything about it. Other than there was a weird conversation about raisins. They were like, don't throw out your raisins or keep your raisins. And I was just like, what the actual fuck? Yeah. And turns out there's somebody that instead of giving you candy at Halloween and Destiny, they give you raisins. But you have to keep them for the next year because apparently they unlock something really big.
Next year? Wouldn't your raisins go bad by then?
I don't know, but I remember for a while I had my character bank, I had a spot just for holiday events collectibles.
Smart. Paul, I don't think you're getting what we're talking about here. Silent Hill is a really scary game. That is not a non-scary Halloween-themed game.
I mean, we can talk about why we don't play a scary game.
Yeah, let's do that. So, ladies, why do you not play scary games? Kat, do you want to start?
Yes, because I have, ever since I was a kid, I've had problems with insomnia and nightmares and night terrors. And if I see something that scares me, it fuels them. It's usually fueled by spiders, which is my everyday fear, which I got mostly under control. But yeah, I was reading the Survival Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse or something like that by Mel Brooks's kid, Max Brook. It's a great book, and it's like how to survive, like a hypothetic book about surviving the zombie apocalypse. And he talks about zombie anatomy and why you should go upstairs and which kind of weapons, how to stock up. And it's very funny, but I had to stop midway through because I was getting zombie nightmares. And there was one drawing of the zombie in the thing. Like, my imagination takes over and it pops up in my sleep and I wake up screaming. So
that's not fun.
No, that's not fun for me, for my boyfriend, for the people in the apartment below, which heard me scream. So I gave up on horror games and horror things. It depends. Like, the really horror games, I can't do the jump scares, the fuck with your mind, the Until Dawns, I can't. I was able to play a bit of Last of Us, but I treated more like, you know, like I was hunting prey, like I would in Skyrim and things like that. Like, the clickers didn't scare me as much, but it's not a game that's made to be scary. So I was able to use my logic to not be scared. But I guess I could play, what's that one on Xbox where you're like in a mall with all the zombies? There's been three of them. Dead Rising.
Yeah, but those are like comical zombies.
Yeah.
Where you get the flaming chainsaw and just kind of...
Yeah, you're just grabbing a bike and you're just like whacking as you ride your kiddie bike across the... Yeah, it can't take itself seriously. And, you know, I watched a few episodes of The X-File, and after one particularly scary episode that I didn't sleep for like a week or two, my mom was like, okay, you're not watching The X-Files anymore, you're done. And she's like, I don't care that you're like 13 or 14 and you can take these decisions for yourself. You're not watching this shit anymore because we all want to get some sleep. Okay. So I can't do that kind of shit. So I don't. So I play stupid, funny stuff.
That works. Whatever tickles your fancy.
And Kelsey, a lot of Skyrim. Did I mention I was playing Skyrim?
I'm sorry. All right. Kelsey, is it the same reason for you? Can you just not handle the jump scares?
I have such a similar story to Kat. I also watched X-Files. I was 7, and my mom and dad loved it, and I was allowed to stay up past 9 o'clock. So I got to watch it, and it was the worst mistake I ever made in my life. To this day, it's the same thing. I have an overactive imagination, and I could be sleeping, and I will hear things, and they're not there. I know it. I'm like, oh God, what if I open my eyes and it's an alien? Oh my God. Then I open my eyes and nothing's there, but like, I'm crazy. And the only zombie game, I played two zombie games. It was The Last of Us, and only because I pushed my way through it, because I'm like, Kelsey, this is game of the year. You can do it. come on, the lights all had to be open. Stuck with my door open for a week, so if I died, my parents would hear me. And and a lollipop chainsaw. And yeah, only because it made me laugh. There was no other reason.
Is lollipop chainsaw more of a comedy horror thing rather than actually scary?
Like, because I also, like, I don't like surprises either. So sometimes when they appear, I like, you're like, ooh. But otherwise, like, the game's funny. It starts off with her in her cheerleader outfit, and she has to slice her boyfriend's head off so that he stays with her on her keychain. And it's like the weirdest thing. But it made me laugh. It kept me busy.
It's a Twisted Metal kind of situation. Like, over the top.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely over the top.
Well, that's it. When you take horror to a level where it's just absurd, it removes the scare factor.
Yes. That's the only way.
That's the only way?
Yeah.
How about you, Bianca?
So I'll put it out there that TV shows and movies, horror, I can watch till the end of time. They do not bother me whatsoever. When it comes to video games, they mess me up. So I'll have two experiences, because one is a childhood experience, which makes sense, and one is an adult experience, which doesn't make sense. So when I was a kid, I watched my brothers play Resident Evil 1 and 2. Didn't bother me because I was just watching. But when I played 3, I could not sleep for months on end, just because you meet Nemesis at the beginning of the game and you're like, oh, that's the boss. You meet him. So like, you're walking down this alleyway and he comes out of this hall, outside of the building, and he has like his grenade launcher, right? And he's just like, rawr! And I'm just like, what is this? Like, I was freaking out. And it was the worst, because at the house I was living in had like their den and a long hallway up to the stairs to get to the rest of the house, and that hallway freaked me out, because I'm like, at any moment Nemesis is going to come down that hallway. And
oh,
I'm
my
like,
God.
And I didn't sleep for months. My parents were just like, what's wrong with you, Bianca? And I'm like, Nemesis is coming after me. Like, oh, it's just a video game. And I'm like, I'm not sleeping. How can this just be a video game? And then my second experience, I was an adult only a few years ago, and I was playing Last of Us. You know, I'm an adult, right? Why would I get scared? Playing Last of Us, whatever, fantastic game. I got halfway through it. I went to bed. I had a nightmare, which I haven't had since I was 12. And I woke up and I was like, holy shit, I can't play this game anymore. And I didn't go back to sleep because I was legit scared that the infected were going to come into my house. Like, I'm like, I can't go back to bed, because if I go to bed, the infected will get me in my head and I'll die in my sleep, because this just makes logical sense. So I didn't sleep for like a good 2 days. I didn't sleep that weekend. It was the worst.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly. You know the noise they make?
Yeah, the clicking noise.
My friend was able to do that noise, and sometimes he would like come behind me. He'd be like,
The thing with video games, I imagine, is the immersion side that really gets you.
Yeah, that's it. I know exactly that's why it is. That's why I avoid horror games, because like, I would like to sleep tonight. I do have an adult life and I need to work tomorrow. The last thing I need is like not, you can't go into work to be like, oh, why are you tired, Bianca? Oh, I played a horror game and I can't sleep. Like, it's not a good excuse. It's not.
I got nightmares and I can't crawl into my mom's bed anymore because I live on my own. You know, that's
too old for that. I'm over 30. VR, right?
No.
VR.
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, a whole lot of nope right now. So we got Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, which I played the demo of, and like I played the demo of when I was at Montreal Comic Con, and I sat there with my jaw dropped, being like, this is crazy creepy, but at the same time, so not, because I could hear what was going on around me, and I knew that people were watching me and my expressions and everything, so it's just like, this must look absolutely ridiculous. But then when we got it here in the house and we were demoing it, it's terrifying to have that all-encompassing scenario. Talk about immersion and being put in, you know, put in the place, and then having to like step out of it afterwards. Super scary. And I imagine this is just going to take horror games to a whole new level. Even Batman, that Arkham VR game, that very end part, Catherine, did you find that when you were turning in a circle and you turned and like you looked at one thing and you expected the wall to be blank, and then you turn back and it's like a dude in the gurney dead, and then you turn the other way and it's a freaking Joker, and you turn the other way and you're like, what is going on? Like, that scared me more than even a horror game did.
Actually, I got saved by my motion sickness at that point, because I was so focused on, at that point, I've been a good 5 minutes of like, don't fall on the floor. Don't fall on the floor. Remember where your feet are. Remember where your legs are. Remember where the ground is. Remember where the sky is. So I kind of like, it was happening and I wasn't really registering. I was just like, is this game over? Is this game, okay, the game's over. Bye. Probably if I weren't like so focused on my motion sickness, I would have gotten fucked up, and then I would have been a week of not sleeping, because like I would wake up screaming like, the Joker is after me. So yeah.
All right, on another side, we've got Christmas coming. We already spoke about that. So what can video games do to kind of, you know, bridge the gap and bring, you know, the holiday spirit in?
Presents.
Presents?
Gifts? Lots of gifts.
Lots of gifts in games?
Yeah. All of them. All the gifts.
Can you think of any Christmas-style games besides... was it Dead Rising? To kind of, well, the new Dead Rising is very much holiday. Dead Rising 4 is going to be holiday themed, Christmas themed. Is there any games so people can start getting into the Christmas spirit, or maybe after American Thanksgiving or something like that, if they want to get in on that?
Isn't the game? What if the Batman is Christmas?
Yeah, the one Origins.
That's my Arkham Origin is Christmas, yeah. What do I usually play around Christmas? Around Christmas, that's when I pull out the couch co-ops. Because there's a lot of people around. Last Christmas, we played a lot of Syndicate. And I had the PS4 at my brother's, and they played a lot of hockey.
So there it's more in the case of experiences together. They're not the theme of the game, but it's not the experience.
It's more like, you know, there's a bunch of us, and, you know, now I live above my brother, and I think a lot of the Christmas is going to be at my brother's, and people are just going to stare at me, and they're like, so I know you have all the consoles upstairs, and I'm like, fine. I'm going to actually have to bring back my Wii U over the Christmas break so that people can play Mario Kart. Like, for me, like, Christmas is always that. It's like, what game did we get? Are we playing it now? Or there's a lot of people around. What can we do together? And, you know, for years and years, we would still pull out the original NES because we had a TV that could still connect to it, and we would have Duck Hunt tournaments.
Duck Hunt?
Yes. It was to the point where the sound of the gun, like the crank, you know, it sounded like Christmas, or it sounded like a birthday party, because we always finished by playing Duck Hunt at one point.
We've got Birup asking, is The Binding of Isaac a Halloween-type game? It's not scary?
It sounds scary, and I am not sure.
I didn't get to play The Binding of Isaac. I probably should. It's one of those games that you kind of have to go back to because of the, it has such a notoriety is not a good word for it. It's critically acclaimed. That's for darn sure. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up our show for us here this evening. I know a lot of folks are still out trick-or-treating different places in the world. I'm really excited that we got to do this on Halloween. I think it's a topic. Everybody always does like the horror cast and that kind of stuff. But there's other ways to get to enjoy Halloween and not, you know, be scared.
Yes.
Right? Get a little different flavor of things. So before I close out the show and get all you ladies to say your social media handles so people can follow you, just want to thank Fun.io, who is our hosting for our website. So if you're looking for BPS hosting or any other type of hosting, go check them out. We've got some really cool stuff on the website right now, including that we announced today. We are, once again this year, a media partner at MIGS, MIGS 16, which is happening in 2 weeks' time. It's coming up real soon. And so if you want to go to the show, which is like this amazing conference with talks by all these amazing developers, artists, all this stuff, work on video games, really big stuff too. We're giving away a pair of tickets, so go check that out. Also, we've got a double pass for Northern Arena, the esports event, which is happening on November 13th, same weekend as MIGS. So yeah, if you want to win tickets to that, go check that out on the site. And of course, there's lots of articles, and I believe, Kelsey, you have a new review up on the site too, Pan-Pan?
Yes, Pan-Pan, it's the cutest game ever. Everyone play it, please.
Go check that out too. stream schedule, usual jazz going on this week. Gonna give you the down low of what's up once I can open my Twitter. Here we go. So tomorrow we've got Kathleen. She's playing Paper Mario Color Splash. I believe
Skyrim Special Edition.
Special Edition. That's how I figured that was. We've got Witchling. Looks like she's in the same
Dark Souls 3 DLC.
Oh, that's Dark Souls? Okay, yes. Cool. And then Bianca, you're gonna go back to Final Fantasy X.
Yeah. Finally.
That's on Friday. I love it. So thanks, girls, for coming to hang out. Kat, you want to give your social media handle so people can track you down?
Yep, I'm at at CSDESBINS on everything, PSN, Xbox, Twitter, Instagram. Follow me on Twitter. It blew up because the shop for dog rates retweeted me.
Nice.
Somebody noticed me. I am getting their good dog spread shirt. So I'm happy about that. So follow me on Twitter or on Instagram to get the selfie when I do get it.
Nice.
Because I post selfies about once every 6 months. So you got to follow me or you won't see it.
Bianca, how can people follow you?
It's Miss Bianca Donk on both Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, and I'm just Bianca Donk on all the gaming networks except for Battle.net because that has numbers after it. But yeah, pretty much Miss Bianca Donk.
It's true. Kelsey, how can people follow you?
On Twitter, Kelsamus, KelSSamus.
Awesome. And I'm Leah Jewer on everything. But of course, you want to follow Girls on Games. So you can track us down on Twitter at The Girls on Games, Facebook, The Girls on Games, Instagram, we're just Girls on Games, no the in front of it. And of course, Snapchat as well. But all the details that you ever need to know are on girlsongames.ca. Thanks, y'all, so much for hanging out on this wonderful Halloween edition of Girls on Games cast. We'll see y'all next week. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.